Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Which is more important, following a law or showing mercy to the sick and captive? This is the question that lies at the heart of our gospel lesson this morning. Luke tells us that Jesus, as was his custom, is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath when a desperately sick woman shows up in the congregation. This woman has been bound by a spirit that has crippled her for 18 years. She's been bound and captive, held captive by this demonic spirit, and she's unable to get free from this spirit. The demonic spirit has bent her over, doubled her over, and as the text says, she had no power to stand up straight. In this, the woman really is a type of us all. In fact, that's what the little clue of the 18 years is meant to point us back to. You see, just a few verses earlier, before our gospel lesson today, Jesus references a news story about those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. They, the 18 in that particular recounting, were intended to signify to us our own place as those who are, because of our sin, on the fast track to death. And now the number 18 comes back around again as a pointer that we all of us who are born under and into original sin, are captive to a power that is greater than us, and we cannot get ourselves free. We have no power to stand up straight. Now, I know that this is a rather unpopular thought today. We, especially as Americans, don't like to think of ourselves as being in a bad way. We like to believe that we are free people all around who can make choices for themselves, good choices for themselves, and mark out a good end for their lives. We love to believe that we have a free will and that we can just apply that free will to bring about a good end to our story. After all, we can knuckle down, we can live the life we want to live and do the things we want to do, and therefore we can be the master of our lives and make our lives turn out the way we want them to. We all believe Mickey Mouse when he says that you can make every wish come true, right? But that's good. I'm glad you don't. But Scripture says otherwise, out of the mouths of babes, right? But Scripture says otherwise, and reality displays another picture. Scripture repeatedly tells us that we are not free, but that we are bound and captive creatures, and our day-to-day lives put this truth on full display. We have no power in ourselves to help ourselves, much like this woman who is a type of us all. We're captive to the ongoing reality of the cycle that we live in of cruelty and violence and hatred and animosity and self-centeredness. And it's not only that we see others caught up in this cycle, but we ourselves get caught up in this cycle as well. And we can't get ourselves free from it. Just think on a much lesser scale about that piece of cake that comes calling at night when you're already stuffed to the gills and yet you can't say no to the piece of cake. There is something in us that we are bound and captive to that we can't even say no to a piece of cake, right? It turns us in on ourselves and we go and eat and we feel sick. Our lives and this 24-hour news cycle that we live in, that we see played out over and over again, we live in this and we just can't stop it. As I said, we are captive to forces that are greater than ourselves. If you still don't believe me, and you really do think that we're free creatures, I am going to put a challenge to you this day. Stop sinning. Period. Stop sinning. If you have a free will, stop sinning. That is, for the rest of the day, I do not want you to think a bad thought. Don't speak ill of anyone else or gossip about other folks at church when you leave today. Don't covet anything that belongs to someone else. Don't sneak a furtive glance of that woman or man that you see in the supermarket. Don't make a pig of yourself at coffee hour. And most importantly, don't trust in anything, but God. Trust and love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and all means all. And love your neighbor as yourself from the heart, down deep, not just obligatory behavior, but has to be heart-motivated behavior. Do that, and then tell me how you've done. It can't be done. As I said, we're not free. We, like this woman, are bent over. We're curved in on ourselves, as St. Augustine teaches us, and we can't straighten ourselves up. But there is hope, and that hope lies in Jesus alone. When Jesus sees this woman enter the synagogue, he calls her over to himself, and immediately he absolves her. He sets her free from her demonic oppression and her illness. He says to her, "Apaleluzai tes asthenaiasu," you are released from the illness of you. And he places his hands on her, and immediately she stands up straight and she starts praising God. What this act does is it reinforces everything that Jesus has been teaching about who he is and what he's come to do. As he told the disciples of John the Baptist when they came to him questioning whether or not he was the Messiah, he is the one who has come to give sight to the blind, to make the lame walk, to cleanse the lepers, to make the deaf hear, to raise the dead, and to preach the good news or the gospel to the poor. In a nutshell, Jesus has come into this world to liberate, by word and deed, all those who are held in bondage and who are captive to the powers of evil, to the forces of evil. That is, Jesus has come into this world to set us free. You and me and every other sin-sick person in this world, which means every single person in this world. There's no one exempt. You see, friends, we're all captives, and the only hope that we have in this world is the hope of Jesus and his word of absolution. The only hope we have is in this man who has died for our sins on the cross and been raised for our justification on Easter morning. And it is his promise, you are set free from your illness. You are absolved. You are forgiven. That does the work of releasing us from our captivity. That word takes us bent over, curved in creatures, and pulls our heads out of our bent overness and raises us up to look God in the face for the first time and to have God say to us, who have been baptized in his name, upon whom he has shed his grace and his mercy, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I died for you, and I love you." That is when we are set free to praise and glorify God. Now, as good and liberating as this word is, there is always opposition to it in this world. That opposition comes from many fronts, but one of those fronts is religious legalism. The gospel, in all its freedom and its unconditionality, is always an affront to those who think that they're doing well enough on their own, and who think that they can, through their own religious works, merit something from God. So it is in our gospel lesson today with the synagogue ruler. A wonderful thing has happened in that this poor, demonically oppressed woman has been set free, and instantly the synagogue ruler starts to passive-aggressively reprimand the congregation for the work that Jesus just got done doing in healing this woman on the Sabbath. What he really wants to do is reprimand Jesus for having healed on the Sabbath, but he doesn't have the cojones to actually be able to reprimand Jesus. So what does he do? He takes it out on the congregation. He blasts everybody else and says, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." Can you imagine? You've just been released from this 18-year illness, and the man leading church stands up and says, "Come another day and get healed. Why are you coming this morning for that?" But Jesus calls him out and all who would follow him for this hypocrisy. "Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" The hypocrisy here is that the Sabbath ruler felt that it was okay to absolve, that is, loose, it's the same word in Greek, the animals on Sunday morning. He could absolve the animals, set them free, let them loose, but a human being who is captive under Satan's power, it was not acceptable to absolve that person. It was not acceptable to set that one free. Freeing the animals to the synagogue ruler and to the other religious leaders who followed along with him was much more important than setting free a captive human being. This is like a bunch of hardcore PETA vegans attacking and hurting a bunch of carnivores in order to defend the lives of some animals. Or it's like a bunch of hardcore pro-lifers bombing an abortion clinic to tell people, kill people, to tell people not to kill people, right? It's insanity. This doesn't make sense. This is all law and no mercy, and all attempts to keep the law in this way inevitably lead to hypocrisy. This is what the law does when it gets into self-righteous hands. Well, what happens is those who think they're doing the law look down on those who are not doing the law in the way that they think they're doing it and should be doing it. And then, because they realize that the law is impossible to keep anyway, they have to begin changing the rules to make the rules fit so that the rules become a little bit more doable. The truth is that, biblically speaking, the Sabbath was always, always, always intended to be a time of rest, a time of liberation. It was not about setting aside one day where humans could really knuckle down and by the work of their rest prove to God that they merited something. But you see, this is the way that many people still in the Christian church today conceive of the Sabbath day. It's a day to do nothing, and by doing nothing, I knuckle down and I prove to God by my rest that I deserve to be in his kingdom. Do you see how backwards this is? This is all law, no mercy here. Well, the Old Testament picture that we get from the description of the Sabbath year and the Jubilee year, which are both in Leviticus 25, and you can go home and read those. The Sabbath year, the Sabbath, was always made to be a gift from God to us. A day for sin-sick people to come to church, to come to synagogue, to hear the word of absolution from God, so that they might be released from the burdens that they're carrying, that they might be released from their sin sickness, that they might be released from all the bondage that they carry with them and find themselves entangled up in during the week. That is what the entire ministry of Jesus embodies. One long Sabbath day of freeing those who are captive to sin, death, and the devil, before rising on Sunday morning on the eighth day, the day of new creation, to announce that we are free and that we have been made a new creation in Jesus Christ. You and I, friends, are the recipient of that. With that said, let me absolve you so that you will be free this morning. By Christ's authority and command, I declare to you this day the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are free. You are absolved. Stand up straight and enjoy the freedom that you have as the new creations that Christ has made you. Amen.